You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. You'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now, let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Welcome to the Internet Advisor Hour number 2, which we officially declare your hour. That's when you can call us and you decide what the topic of the conversation will be. Have you got a question about your computer, about getting around the internet, or sometimes getting over the problems you find there? Give us a call at 800-859-0957 right now. That's 800-859-0957. We have a whole group of techs in here waiting to answer your question. Thank you again for joining us here for our number 2 of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson are with us here in studio. A great team of tech experts ready to answer your questions. And we have Joe from Livonia has got his toe dipped in the water. We're getting ready to answer his question coming up in just a short bit. And you can get in line to get your question answered. And please don't wait to the end of this hour. As often happens, people will say, oh, I wonder if I should, or they're getting kind of cold feet on this and figuring that, maybe my question is dumb. No. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask, because it helps so many people. So again, the phone number is 800-859-0957. And before we start answering those questions, Mr. Mike Brennan is here with us. He's the editor of MI Tech News, which is a great resource for those of you who are interested in finding out what's going on in technology and in entrepreneurship in our state. It's an absolutely free news service. It's got all sorts of great aspects for you, and it's absolutely free. And Mike, welcome again to the Internet Advisor.
Thanks, Foster. Always happy to update everybody on what's going on.
By the way, we're delighted to have one of the people that you've had as a guest on your M-Squared TechCast. That is Andy Basile, who was with us on the show just a little bit earlier, talking about the differences between Silicon Valley and Detroit, and great insights on his part.
Yeah, and as you know, he's from Young & Basile, which mm-hmm. is a patent attorney, intellectual property attorney, and you know, obviously has a foot in both the big tech hubs, Detroit and Silicon Valley.
Absolutely. All right, Mike, let's take a look at, give people kind of an idea of what you're doing out there with MI Tech News, with some of the headlines that you've got there. So let's look at a selection of them. Current Motor has won the Michigan Mobile Prize competition.
Yeah, it's they make a electric motorcycle with this really cool charging station that's powered by solar energy, and you can plug 4 of these bikes in, so you know when you get done doing whatever you're doing, you can jump back on the bike, it's fully charged. And so they won this competition, $5,000, but they're going to get a lot of opportunities to meet people that can help them really make this thing go.
Wow.
And that was sponsored by NextEnergy and U of M Sustainable Mobility and Accessibility Research Transportation Institute.
Apparently,
wow, that's a mouthful, huh?
Easy for you to say.
Yes.
I see that it also may
for a while.
it may help them to travel to an award ceremony in New Delhi, India, pay for the fare. The fare.
Yeah. So.
All right. The next headline there is, I love this one. And Gary, apparently you were there to hear
so,
this.
So was Mike. We sat together.
Yeah, all 3 of us. But Matt wrote this. I just picked it up from Matt because he did such a nice job with it. So we were just, you know, we get this little scrum with the governor after these big events. So everyone's asking their questions. And I can't remember who asked it, whether it was Matt or somebody else, but have you ever been hacked? And the governor says, yeah, I had my ID stolen, discovered I had an apartment in Washington, D.C., and some credit cards I didn't know I had. And I go, well, probably having a good time, though, aren't you? You know? And he goes, no, that's not it. So,
that was a while ago.
Before he was governor, back when he was a humble businessman.
All right.
Venture capitalist.
Final headline was that Mike Ilitch, the man behind the Detroit Red Wings, and sports and a lot of the good stuff happening in Detroit, has donated $40 million to build a brand new business school for Wayne State University.
Yeah, that whole block that's pretty blighted right now behind the Fox Theater going down to the Masonic Temple, that whole area is going to be, in the next couple of years, just wow, like wow. Disneyland. And part of that's going to be this 120,000 square foot business school named the Mike Ilitch Business School. I'm not sure if it's Wayne State Business School, but Mike Ilitch's name is in there somewhere. But heck, $40 million, why not, right?
So. Oh, wow. Absolutely excellent to see that. Well, folks, these are the kind of headlines that you'll see when you receive MI Tech News in your email inbox every Wednesday and Friday. And Wednesdays, you'll get the audio components, and that is our podcast, IT in the D, the M Squared Tech Cast.
Tech Talk Divas.
The Tech Talk Divas will be there. So that's kind
of Michigan Mobile Musings.
That's right.
The Technology Mobile Wireless Association.
So it's a veritable smorgasbord of audio elements of tech around technology. And then on Fridays, you'll get another dose, and this is the headlines. And by the way, I got to say, Mike, I really like the new format that you have online.
Yeah, yeah, very nice.
So much easier to pick our topics.
Very clean.
Everybody's been saying that. Unfortunately, I had to dump the old one. But, you know, that's because we spent a lot of time building, and then we discovered Google's new rules, and we had to start from scratch. So what do you do, right? But, so we got this one right. It's really good. It's
absolutely
mobile-friendly. It looks solid, and everybody loves it.
So it's absolutely excellent. And the price of all of this is absolutely nothing. You get this for free, both of those elements, and there'll be video coming, as a matter of fact, in 2016. So it's a great deal, and this is contrary to what Cal was saying in the first hour. You know, this is one of those free lunches that is indeed a free lunch and well worth getting.
Yeah, you know, you got to watch him.
Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
All right, thanks, guys. It's fun. Let's do it again next week.
All right, thank
Sounds
you.
Sounds good, Mike.
And if you would like to get your copy of MI Tech News, either one of those, simply go to internetadvisor.net, and after the show, we'll have a posting there where you can click on the Subscribe Now button down on next to Mike's smiling face, or you can go to mitechnews.com and subscribe there. That's Mr. Mike Brennan. Well, coming up in just a moment, by the way, we're going to be taking your phone calls, and we've got, a whole bunch of people, John and Shelley and Joe waiting, and hey, how about you? Your question, and Ed and Cal and Gary and I are going to start answering those right after the break. And here's the phone number, toll-free, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. And John from Detroit, we're going to be talking with you about your Lenovo when we come back here with the Internet Advisor, hour number two, answering your questions. It is a delight to be able to be here on this Halloween Saturday afternoon and evening to take your questions live. By the way, during the rest of the times that we're not here live on WJR, you can get a question to us anytime, 24/7, by going to internetadvisor.net. And there is a contact button in our toolbar. You simply click on that, put your email address in there, and send us your question. And during the week, we will very faithfully get to answer those. All right, let's go into Detroit and say hello to John. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. John, how can we help you?
Hi. I've got a problem with my Lenovo. It's a B50 Touch, and it keeps stopping on me.
Okay.
Because I've got problems, and it won't restart, so it keeps recycling. Finally, I rebooted it, you know, from the original, and the original reset, which eliminated all of the programs that didn't come with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then,
okay.
Well, I just loaded two programs, and it keeps doing it. It says unusual shutdown.
So is it crashing? Okay, so now that we're dealing with a factory restored computer with no extraneous applications, what operating system is it running right now?
8.1 or whatever it is.
It is running 8.1. And so you're in the computer when you're using it. Does everything seems to work fine?
It's just that while I'm doing my job, which is mobile. Doing reports and filling out forms, but all of a sudden it just crashes on me.
So it crashes, or does it go to sleep and when you shut the lid and won't wake up? I mean, I'm sorry, that's what the distinction I want to make. So you're saying it's actually crashing? Okay,
it's crashing. It's saying it it's not working right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, okay.
So when did this start?
A month ago.
And was there anything that happened just prior to that? Did you download additional applications?
Or? I may have.
Yeah.
So, okay. And by the way, is it when it shuts down, does it shut down after a certain number of minutes each time?
Mm.
Or is it random?
Random.
So you could be doing any program, it doesn't matter what program you're in, and it could go for 20 minutes and then shut down, and it could go for 5 minutes and shut down.
No, it's it could go a day.
Oh, okay.
Okay, for okay. even longer.
And I'm running two programs concurrently. I'm running Windows Streets and Trips, 2013, okay. Trial Edition, and I'm also using Map Pro.
Okay. And while you're using it, could it shut down? Could it just stop working?
No, it's when I want to start using it again and I look and whoop.
Okay, so it doesn't happen while you're using a program?
Nope.
Okay, so you walk away from it, you come back to it, and suddenly it won't, it will just have...
It says a computer has to restart because it's screwed up. Well, it won't restart.
Well, you know, the best thing, we need the actual errors.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it doesn't say screwed up, but that's what happens. But do you know what it says? Because that will help.
The original error. In other words, what we're asking for, John, is the error message itself.
So it's not a blue screen, so it's probably saying something like...
Yes, it is a blue screen.
So yes, it doesn't give you an error message.
It just says that it Windows stopped working for some reason or other. It might give an error message, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay.
But it's a blue screen of death.
So if we can't solve it on the air, and we're going to give you a couple ideas, but if we can't...
Well, as of right now, I'm at System Restore.
Okay.
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 And it says Windows Module Installer, type install. But then... down at the bottom, it doesn't give me a next. It gives me a back or it gives me a cancel.
All right, here's what we're going to do because it does sound like this is a more complicated thing. I'm guessing I'm a hardware issue. What do you think, Ed, between hardware and software? What would your guess be?
I would think, well, it could be either one, actually. Okay. And the actual error message would tell you if it's hardware or software.
Okay.
I mean, it could be anything from overheating, but it doesn't sound like it because it's so random. A memory could be going bad. He might want to run check your disk for errors by using Microsoft's error checking utility. It could be a number of things that are doing this. What concerns me is he did a factory recovery, put it back to Windows 8.1,
and it's still
doing the same thing. Yeah. Now he's trying to do a system restore, which is only going to restore it back a couple days or whatever, and it's probably still going to have the same problem. So one of the things I would do is go to the Lenovo website and download and find your model number of computer and then download updates. So go to their website, download the new audio drivers for it, the video drivers, stuff like that.
Okay.
But I sort of doubt that's it because he's experienced the problem before.
Mm-hmm.
And then not even now.
Even after a factory reset. So, John, here's what we're going to do, because we can go on for a long time on this. We want you to go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and then hit that contact button. Then you'll find a big space there that you can put in your comment, your questions, give us a little more information. And if
you can get the error code.
And the error code. And then during the week, we'll get back to you because this is going to take a lot more time than we can possibly get to right now on the air. But thanks.
But he's done a lot of good things.
Oh, you've done a lot of good things on this.
And with the error code, I think we can help him.
Yep. And that'll be our next level of challenge, okay? Let's go back. Let's see. We can go to our next caller, this one from Detroit again. Hey, Shelly in Detroit, how are you doing? I think it's Shelly, or is it Shelby? How are you doing?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Hi.
My question is, my first question, that is internetadvisor.net.
Yes.
If I give you my email address,
yes.
How do I know that it's from you? Say, I go into my email, mm-hmm. and I get another email from you. Is there a way that I know for sure that it's from internetadvisor.net?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Could it be a phishing website that scares me?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a novice.
So it'll make a lot of sense and give you great value. That's how you know it's from us. So.
We're teasing. actually, he's right. It will also say that it's from internetadvisor.net.
And you make a very good point, Shelley. Yeah. And what you want to do is you want to look and make sure that it's not misspelled or coming from something else.
That's my other question now.
Well, you don't want anybody to slip an I in there or something that's hard to see. So,
What we're going to do is on the Internet Advisor's website, when you select the contact us, it's going to ask you for your friendly name, and it's going to ask you for your email address. It's going to ask you to type in a description of what problem you're experiencing, and it'll be sent to all of us on the Internet Advisor. So Foster, Gary, or I will be replying.
And Cal and Shane.
Okay.
Any one of us would reply. And the reply to address, you'll actually see it says at internetadvisor.net. Your original syntax that you provided us will be included in there, and we're going to address your concerns in there or questions.
And Cal, you were going to say
something? And we don't sell your email addresses.
No,
we definitely don't.
Hang on, Shelley. Cal had a... Shelley?
Is that dangerous somehow? I'm really new at this.
All right. Shelley, hang on a second. I want you to ask that question, but Cal, you had a thought?
Well, I was just wondering whether or not in Windows, isn't there something where you can hover over the address and it'll show you whether it's a real link or a bad link or something to that
effect? You can actually see what the... what Cal's bringing up, it's interesting. This is the guy from the Apple world, but in Windows, if you take your mouse, the little cursor, the little arrow, and you hover over the area where the email address is, it will tell you where it's really coming from. Yeah. And that is a great way to find spam.
And she's on her phone.
And where it's really coming from should be internetadvisor.net.
Right, exactly. And if it says anything else, that's where you find out where the bad guy's out. Now, I'm going to put you on hold for a second so I can get that second question you had, all right?
Okay,
so hang on. Okay. We'll come back to you. For the rest of you folks out there, if you're listening to us right now would have a question for us, we still have half of an hour to go. And the number is 800-859-0957. Again, that number is 800-859-0957. Give us a call. I'd be happy to give an answer. Thank you for joining us here on The Internet Advisor. This is your hour. Ask your questions. And remember that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. 800-859-0957. Joe and Clark will be getting to you in just a little bit. Shelley, I want to get back to you because you asked one other question, and I want to see if I can get that answered, but you need to ask it quickly. So go ahead and ask a question.
Okay. It's so overwhelming. Where do you advise for a beginner to start learning about internet security and privacy?
Internet security and privacy.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, you're right. It does seem overwhelming.
Are you on your phone?
I'm on my phone. This is my internet.
So you use your phone, not a computer?
At this time, correct.
Okay, so the good...
And the permissions, my gosh. Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say the good thing is that a phone, because it's not as flexible as a computer, you're not as susceptible to... to viruses and bad things that can happen, right?
Yeah, but like we were talking at the beginning of the show, one of the things that you do have to be concerned about is the type of apps you download.
That's right.
And so the type of all those applications that you have that you download, usually when you install them, they'll ask you, do you wish to allow this application access to your contacts, your phone, your calendar, your photos and stuff? So. I usually choose applications that only require a couple things, like location-based. Well, that makes sense because it's a mapping program and stuff like that. So usually 3 or 4 items, I'll go for those free apps, but I won't install an application that wants access to everything.
And then the other thing
application control is so important because I'm looking at the application permissions on my phone, things I can't even control, and it's scary as heck.
Good for you.
These are pre-downloaded.
Yeah, you don't have to be scared. You have to be vigilant. Because a lot of us have apps and a lot of apps on our phones. But like Ed said, and as we said before, you just have to be very careful what you allow them access to. I never allow them access to anything they don't absolutely need. If it's a map program, like Ed said, got to let them know what your location is.
Well, since we're talking to Mr. Mobility, would it be good to warn her in relation to using Wi-Fi as opposed to LTE?
I don't believe so. Obviously, Wi-Fi is a little more open, but with the phone, I'm not sure that I would use Wi-Fi every chance I get, just because it's cheaper data, right? It's free data as opposed to LTE, which is the cellular data that you buy from your cellular provider, your mobile provider.
Okay, so you don't see any security issues there?
There's a little bit more, potentially, but we haven't seen much yet.
Shelley, I want
that
to
may
thank
change. That may change next week.
Thank you. But I'm going to be emailing you lots of questions.
Good. Yeah. We love to hear that. You go ahead and do that, Shelley. Thanks so much for being here on the Internet Advisor.
And Foster's going to answer them.
I get the
toying. Thanks, Shelley. Those were good questions.
Joe from Livonia, thank you for your patience, and how can we help you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for answering and taking the call.
Sure.
What you guys were just talking about that Ed had talked about earlier, I've got Macs, straight Macs, and I'm wondering, because I guess I got to break this into two parts. One is that I've got a newer Mac, and one I've got one that's using OS 10.5 and before. Mm-hmm. On the OS 10.5 systems, I don't remember seeing anything that asked me, you know, do I want to allow it access to this, that, or the other thing that I've just downloaded. Is that basically a Windows-type setup, or should I be seeing that on my Mac? And or should I be seeing that on my Mac only on the newer system? And then something else you guys had indicated earlier.
Well, hang on, Joe. Let's tackle that first before we get too far from that question.
Well, I mean, this is just going to take a quick second. And that is the hovering of the cursor over the address. Mm-hmm. It happens on my Mac, too.
Okay. That's a good point, then. That's an excellent way of discovering who really is sending you email. Or link, or any link that shows up there. Am I right, guys? Anything that little blue link, you'll hover over it, and you'll see that, for instance, with a lot of phishing scams, if you hover over, you know, just click this and go to your bank, it's not to your bank, it's to somebody else in Eastern Europe.
So you just want to make sure it's called the URL, right? It's the address.
So, Cal, he brings up a good point. So when I was referring to when you install apps, I was talking about smartphone applications, and I was using, specifically, I was talking about Android applications or from the Google Play Store. So if I was to use iTunes, which I haven't used that frequently, when you install an iTunes application, does it also disclose what it requires access to?
Well, it's somewhere as far as access that iTunes is going to be using, it's all in that agreement that you got on there. But for the most part, it really doesn't say, well, I'm going to be using this, I'm going to be using this. As far as I know, it just installs.
Not on the on the laptop, on the phone.
I'm talking about the iPhone. Remember, I'm talking smartphones.
Yeah, iPhone, it does. On the iPhone, it says, I want to use the camera. I want to use your contacts. From there.
And so, and that's the distinction I wanted to make for Joe. We were talking about smartphone devices and
not
tablets, not the Mac PCs.
It doesn't apply to either tablets or to computers?
Well, it refers to iPads and Android tablets. It's the same thing. They all use the Androids use the Google Play Store, and the iPhone and the iPad use iTunes. And so when you install applications from them, the App Store, every time you install an app, it discloses what it requires access to. And you have to acknowledge that. Otherwise, you don't install the app.
That's not the case with
Macs or PCs.
Or you just say, no, don't have access to it. It'll install the app. It just won't give you access to whatever.
If I'm understanding correctly, remember, and I don't know which operating system it begins with Apple, but the operating system itself would not allow you to download third-party apps, period, unless you check that off in the security.
Yeah, with Mavericks, in there, you can actually go into security under security and privacy and tell it whether or not you can allow third parties to download stuff or only from the app store.
There's an extra
earlier
security
than Mavericks.
Was it early?
Earlier okay. than Mavericks. In that particular case, you have to have security set on your machine under the user and users and groups.
Right.
And then you turn it, if you're turned on as admin, I believe it will allow you to download things, but it's going to prompt you, do you want to go ahead and download this? If you're not admin, it won't allow you to download anything. I mean, it won't allow you to install anything.
Now, Joe, did we get to your questions then?
Well, I'm still a little bit confused in regards to what Ed was saying. So if I'm running strictly Mac OS, not iOS,
yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. not something that I would normally see if I'm sitting there and installing
right.
a new app.
Right. That's exactly
true.
It.
You're not going to see that.
Yep, you're not going to see
the
it.
The only way that you're challenged is by the security on the Mac,
yep,
as
exactly.
Cal was just saying. Because what okay. I was talking about were smart devices. I mean, not that a Mac isn't smart. God forbid I'd actually say that. What I'm talking about is your smartphone devices.
Get
and
out of reach
tablets.
Of Cal.
Yeah. Every time I do that to Cal, he rolls his eyes at it.
Okay, Joe, thanks so much for giving us a call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right. Let's head out, let's see, to Pontiac and say hello to Clark. Clark, thank you very much for calling us here on the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
I too, am an Apple user.
Okay.
And I am frustrated with the number of commercial sites that don't seem to allow you to interact with them using Safari. I'm thinking of major airlines, a couple I could mention, a brokerage, national stock brokerage. And even though they have icons that you can click, you can get either a long way through the process or early in the game, and then it just plain stops. When you inquire back through the system, they say, oh, yes, you're using an Apple.
The Safari browser.
Chances
Or you're using Safari, yeah.
The chances are really high. The issue that you're having, what version of the Mac OS are you using?
The latest, the one with that name that I keep forgetting.
Oh, El Capitan.
El Capitan. You know.
Okay, so what you're going to want to...
It happened even in the past.
Are you in front of the computer right now?
No, I'm not. I'm safely stopped.
Okay. Yeah. It probably wouldn't be good to drive and compute.
Waiting for my wife to get out of church.
All right, is what you're going to do. When you get home, you're going to start up Safari. And then when you go into Safari, you're going to click on the word Safari at the top and go down to Preferences. And when the Preference panel comes up, you're going to see some tabs across the top. Click on the one that says Security. And then once you click on the one that says Security, on there it'll say Web Content. And the second one down says Block Pop-Up Windows. And there's going to be a little check mark in that little blue box. Click on that box to take the check mark out. Close up the preference box. And then go to those websites. And I probably 9 times out of 10, it's going to work just fine.
So you're thinking it's basically pop-up blocker. Is the things are being blocked.
So as soon as he said airline, I used Delta's website and I was having a problem trying to do some things on there. I went in and turned off the pop-up blocker and everything worked.
So most of the time, like on some of the other browsers, it will say, do you want to allow pop-ups one time or for this site or just take it off?
Correct.
And a lot of times you might just say, because it comes up every time you have a pop-up, you say allow it once. And that allow it for that particular time.
Right.
There could be a potential for some of these sites that they'll use an ActiveX control or some control that you can't, that the Safari browser doesn't support. We keep telling website developers, look, don't disenfranchise people that use a different browser. Make sure that anybody, any way they can get to you. And it's sometimes. They just don't do. They don't do what they need to help their.
They don't
their
do
customers.
Due diligence, right?
And then, of course, to help their customers.
We also have to remember to always do what we always say: have more than one browser on your computer.
Yeah.
Download Chrome if it doesn't work in Safari after you do this adjustment. Download Chrome, install it, and then try it with that.
And the idea is that having two browsers allows you then to check and see where the problem
is. See if
it
is the browser. Right.
Clark, thanks so much for your call. We'll be back to answer Dennis's question and maybe yours before the show is over. It has been a delight being with you folks this afternoon and getting back in the saddle. I think all of us love the opportunity to interact with our listeners and because it's so much fun kind of doing that problem solving. And again, You may not hear us live here on WJR with a sports schedule for a while, but every week we're recording a program here between 4 and 6. And if you have questions, what we do during the week is we collect those, and then we'll play back the answers that we've had, or we may even call back some of the listeners who have sent us an email with the information in it about their problem, and we'll talk with them on the recorded version of the program. But we are here every week answering programs, and 24/7, you can get hold of us to ask us those questions by going to internetadvisor.net and then looking for the contact button at the top of the page there. Guys, thanks so much. It's been a ball here. By the way, thank you
very
much.
It's been a real treat, right?
Yeah. What a treat for a trick or treat.
Yeah. We've talked about a few tricks, but it's
been a
treat.
That's true. Mike Stett, thanks so much. And Eric Dorch as well, the guys behind the glass, for helping us. And maybe squeak in one more call after this one at 800-859-0957. Let's go to Dennis. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Dennis. And how can we help you?
Thank you. I bought a new laptop with Windows 10.
Yeah.
And the CD player won't work. I understand that's a common problem. But you can buy a fix from Microsoft for, I think, $15. But that doesn't work very well. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'm not aware of that. So does your laptop came with an integrated, probably a DVD player?
Yes.
And what are you trying to accomplish with it? Is it a data or movie CD or a music CD?
Well, just to do anything, load a program or anything you want to do, it just won't work.
Bought this?
I look around on the internet and I find that it's a very common problem with Windows 10.
Now, you just bought this and it was a Windows 10 when you bought it? Or was it a 8.1 that you had the rights to upgrade?
No, I had Windows 10 when I bought it.
So I would certainly contact the manufacturer and have them take it back if doesn't work.
Where did you buy it, Dennis?
Well, I bought the laptop at Costco.
Okay.
But I also bought a brand new desktop from Best Buy with Windows 10, and it won't work either without an external player. What's the problem with Windows 10?
Well, I mean, so it depends what you're trying to accomplish. If you're trying to watch movies...
No, I'm not trying to do that at all.
Are you trying to load programs? So you're trying to load programs?
Yes.
That you had on CD and you're trying to get them to work.
Yes.
So when you go to My Computer and you're browsing the CD, do you even see the data on the CD?
No, it won't even open it. It won't do anything.
Okay. Are these store purchased CDs out of curiosity or burned?
Yes.
They are.
It was a virus protection, actually, that I bought from Best Buy.
And I don't know. I haven't heard this at all. I'm not surprised. I mean, I can't remember. I haven't seen a Windows 10 computer with a CD burner.
Now, let me ask you this question. You're saying, Dennis, that if you insert this CD with the security software on there that you bought at Best Buy, you put it in the tray and you put it in, that program will not run then.
It won't open it, period.
And you've tried it both on a desktop and you tried it on a laptop.
Yes. And I have another computer, Windows 7, and it'll open it fine.
Okay. It opens it fine there.
Yeah.
All right.
Like I said, I checked around on the internet. This is a very common problem. You find this all over the internet if you just Google it.
Yeah, but if you bought that at a store like Best Buy, I'd walk back in with that CD, with that machine, and say, hey, guys, look, this doesn't work. And they'll go like, oh, certainly it does. And they'll stick it in, and when it doesn't show, you go, okay, fine, make it work, and let them fix it. Because you paid a price for an operational machine out of the box.
And you bought one. And plus you bought their CD there from them as well.
Yeah, and you didn't pay for a machine that you had to take home, buy something additional for it, and fix it.
You know,
I agree with you, but I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be too receptive to that.
Well, I mean, you have to be.
You call us back if they are not.
We just got a call offline, and our engineer just told me this, that apparently Costco has a 2-year concierge service.
They do.
Yeah.
So take it back to them.
In other words, you should be able to take it back to them and say, and how long ago did you buy this?
About a month ago.
Yeah,
no.
It's Windows 10. He bought it with Windows 10 on, so it has to be less than 3 months old.
But I also have a brand new desktop that
Best
I paid
Buy.
Over $2,000 for with Windows 10 on it, and it won't work either.
Well, then I'd say in either of those cases.
Both of
those
cases.
Both those cases. Well, it may be Microsoft's problem, but the point is you shouldn't be struggling with it.
Well, just out of curiosity, for my own benefit, and I don't mind you doing this, who's the manufacturer? Is it Dell, HP, Acer? What's the manufacturer of the...
HP.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is both an HP laptop and an HP desktop.
No, it's an HP laptop, but the desktop is... It's a...
Dell?
No, well,
it doesn't really matter.
It's a water-cooled thing. I can't think of the name of it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So the fact is that you expect it to work.
Absolutely.
They expect it to work when they sell it to you. If it's not, you just bought it.
You know, if this was me, what I would do, and I have this at home, I have an external USB DVD drive.
I have one, too.
And when you plug it in, did that work?
Yes, it did.
Ah.
See, it might be the type of internal... drive that they have on there. I'm suspecting, and I don't know this for sure, remember how you have plus R and minus R media?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think if you took that CD or whatever you had and burned it to the opposite media type, it might work.
It plus minus and plus and minus has nothing to do with a commercially made CD. You should be able to put it into either one.
Oh, that's true. Thank you, Kevin.
No problem at all.
But still, we're back to the point. If you go to Microsoft Store, they have a fix for this for $15.
Well, why are they charging you money to fix
a
problem?
That's a good question. After you paid for Windows 10, they want $15 to fix this, but everybody on the net says it doesn't fix it very well.
No, you know, this doesn't make sense because you hooked up an external USB drive, CD drive, and it worked out of the box. In the old days, there used to be a problem with Microsoft. In the registry, there'd actually be a corrupt registry location, and you go in there, you delete that registry location, and it repairs the CD drive because it would stop working. But that was back in the Windows XP days,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know that, and not I haven't heard of anything like that.
Costco
Windows
is responsible for making sure that you're a satisfied customer. You paid good money for a device that you thought was going to work. Now, if it requires any of that stuff that it says, the $15, the Microsoft thing, let Costco do that for you because
you paid
a price for a functional device.
No.
But everybody on the net says it won't fix the problem.
I wouldn't do that.
Then
I wouldn't pay $15.
Do yourself a favor then, Dennis, and don't pay the money.
Yeah, there are a lot of backseat drivers out there that think they know what they're doing, and they're getting their facts wrong. You know, I don't think that's the problem.
Dennis, I'm sorry we couldn't fix this for you ourselves, but it does sound like the old case of, buyer beware, or, pardon me, that you should be able to go back to the place that you bought this place, especially just a month ago, and get it fixed. Thank you so much, all of you out there, for joining us. It's been fun to be back and in connection with our audience and being able to tackle these problems, although sometimes not being able to sort them out at the media time. I want to thank Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson for being here on the air with me.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you very much. Have a great and a safe time out there with Halloween, and we will catch you back again.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.